910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Daniel Penny's lawyers portray him as a savior. Prosecutors call him reckless in the chokehold death of an unruly Jordan Neely on a New York City subway train. Closing arguments were heard Monday.
Prosecutors say Daniel Penny, a trained Marine in martial arts, in the kind of hold that he was trying to use, should have found some kind of an alternative means to subdue Jordan Neely. They say it was reckless, and they say that Penny disregarded Neely's humanity.
ABC's Aaron Katursky. Prosecutors will wrap up their summation on Tuesday. When former Kansas City, Kansas Police Detective Roger Golubsky didn't show up for his federal trial for sexually assaulting black women and girls, police went to his place and found him dead from suicide. President-elect Trump hit social media to announce he would nominate investment banker Warren Stevens as U.S. ambassador to Great Britain. This is ABC News. California lawmakers convening a special session to Trump-proof state laws.
If history is any guide from the last time there was a Donald Trump presidency, California will often be at odds with Trump. Now Governor Gavin Newsom has called a special session to approve funding to the Attorney General's office to prepare legal fights against anticipated federal challenges to California's laws over things like abortion, immigration, and the environment. Democrats who hold the supermajority in the state legislature here are setting aside $25 million for legal fees to respond to potential attacks from the Trump administration. Alex Stone, ABC News.
President Biden arrived in Luanda, capital of Angola, for his long-awaited first presidential visit to sub-Saharan Africa. It's a three-day trip aimed at countering China's influence by highlighting an ambitious U.S.-backed railway project. Angola and neighboring countries are rich in critical minerals used in electric vehicle batteries and electronic devices. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
The Todd Allbus Show.
Peter Rapine, the managing editor of E-Bombs World.
Another dumb paid millions for a duct-taped banana. You don't get to take home the banana. You're just taking the concept of it.
They sold this for $6.2 million. The guy bought a banana for 35 cents and took a thing of duct tape and put it on a white wall.
It's art, baby.
The Todd Allbus Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
The Bucks are on the road. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Bucks and the Pistons tonight in Detroit, an NBA Cup game, the in-season tournament. Doc Rivers thinks this could be a fun game to watch.
It's early in the season, and you have a game that has some meaning behind it. The team that you're playing, it's a must-win for them. You know, it's a must-win for both teams in some ways. You don't get this early. And so I think it's good for everybody.
College hoops, Wisconsin hosts Michigan tonight in Madison. The Badgers now ranked 11th in the nation in the latest AP poll. NFL Packers getting ready for the Lions. Green Bay defensive end Lucas Van Ness has a quarterback sack in each of the Packers' last two games. I asked him about Lions quarterback Jared Goff.
Yeah, you know, you've seen that he's a very efficient passer, and we're going to do what we can just to kind of keep the momentum we've had over the past few weeks, getting after quarterbacks and trying to do our best to impact the game that way.
That's the Packers' Lucas Van Ness with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Well, Glickin' Weekend's box office haul turned out to be no match for that of Barbenheimer's, but it was still impressive and helped the holiday box office get off to a great start. As expected, Wicked landed in the top spot with a take of $114 million, more than doubling Gladiator 2's haul of $56 million at the gate. Gladiator 2, directed by Ridley Scott and starring Paul Mescal, Connie Nielsen, Denzel Washington, and Pedro Pascal, was never expected to be the top dog, as it was always Oppenheimer to Wicked's Barbie. Wicked slightly exceeded expectations expectations with its box office haul, whereas Gladiator 2 came in just under its expectations. This is becoming a trend in Hollywood where two films coming out at the same time were not necessarily competing against each other, but help each other create a social media phenomenon. Landing in third place in week two of its release was Red One with $13 million. Rounding out the top five were Bonhoeffer, Pastor Spy Assassin, and the resilient Venom, The Last Dance, which came in fifth place with $4 million. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Some light snow and flurries coming to an end here in the overnight. The clouds stay put. Lows will drop to the lower teens. Our winds will be light. Tuesday, cloudy skies with highs in the low to mid-20s. The wind turns a bit breezy with more light snow late. Currently 17 degrees.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as Luke Mathers joins us for some Tuesday Tangents with Luke and also a What's Worse. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. Jane and Greg are off today. They'll be back tomorrow. I'm Matt Rothschild, and I'm here with Calvin on the box, as always. And with you, if you want to join the conversation, the number to call is 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. And if you've been waiting patiently, I thank you for doing so. And Calvin, let's take a couple calls.
Yeah, sure. First up, we have Tom from L.A.
Hey, Tom, what's on your mind?
Hey, Matt. Well, you know what? In my opinion, and I'm just going to say this real slowly. In my opinion, we need to stop talking like we're all Democratic consultants and like this is a game. People should not be looked at as data. We are all Americans, and we the people are ultimately the government. People think they are being used right now in this game. When we on the Democratic side keep talking like we're consultants. Also, I think we need to get back to FDR policies and talk about who is our next FDR and who is going to fulfill his second economic bill of rights and tie himself to, or herself to the business that still needs to be completed that FDR talked about.
We need and who in your mind is FDR the next FDR? Tom, sorry to interrupt. I want to know who you think the next FDR is. Is that AOC? Who is that?
No, I think the next, I don't know if that person has even made themselves known yet because I haven't seen a Democratic politician even utter the words FDR. Donald Trump uttered the word FDR probably about 2 weeks ago. I was like, oh my God, someone actually uttered his name. I mean, the right wing's full plan. Rush Limbaugh's whole plan was to get rid of the New Deal, was to get rid of good government. And that's exactly what Ronald Reagan was all about, was getting rid
absolutely.
Of good government. And then you had Bill Clinton that kind of went right along with it. Like, government's bad. Government is not bad. Government is we the people. And that's what FDR was able to do, was to actually reach out to the regressives, to the progressives. Didn't matter who it was. And actually appealed to them because of policy, but he had the policy written down and it was simple. Medicare, you know, Social Security for all, unemployment insurance. And for Democrats to not be talking about the person that brought, you know, these policies and maybe even Johnson with Medicare, if they're not talking about this, shame on them. Because all they're talking about, all you get is email after email asking for another donation. Well, let's get money out of politics. Why don't we just say, let's get money out rather than I don't take funding from corporate PACs. Who cares?
Tom, you raise a lot of good points. Tom from L.A. You know, the only Democrat I know who talks about FDR is Bernie Sanders. And he's not even a Democrat. He's independent. He's a Democratic Socialist. But he was the one who would bring up Bernie Sanders. Bernie was the one who was bringing up FDR a lot. And I do think we need to get back to the four freedoms that FDR talked about. I like the fact that Kamala Harris was grabbing the word freedom again and bringing it back as a prominent place in the Democratic conversation. I wish she had stressed more economic freedoms. And maybe she would have gotten further that way, though she had a big hill to climb and she campaigned her tail off. So I don't want to pile on here. But, you know, I do think we need to talk about Medicare for all, full employment, full accessible housing for everybody where rent isn't through the roof like it is right now. Paid family leave. You know, if we can't sell those things, we can't sell popcorn in the movie theater. And so then we got a bigger problem than what we think. So thanks for the call, Tom. We've got another caller, right, Kelvin?
Yeah, we also have Troy from Mount Horeb.
Troy, what's on your mind?
Hey, Matt, love the show.
Oh, thank you.
Going back to the pardon. You know, if people don't know the difference between Hunter Biden and Bannon and their J6 people that Trump says he's going to pardon and the rest of them, I can't help them because I would have pardoned. I'm glad he pardoned Hunter. I would have done the same thing, like you said, as a father. And what he said during the campaign, he said during the campaign, and we can't, you know, if. He might not have pardoned him if she had won, if Kamala had won. But, I don't blame him at all for pardoning him. And I don't think him pardoning Hunter and what Trump's going to do equates in the least.
Well, Troy, I agree with you. Troy from Mount Horeb, thanks for the call. I do agree. That certainly I would have pardoned my son, any of my sons, if they were in trouble and I had the power to do so. And I think most fathers would have done the same. The problem I had with Biden was saying that he wasn't going to do it and then issuing that statement denouncing the Justice Department's investigation. He didn't need to do that either. And I think those things increase the cynicism and that and the equation that people have that all politicians are the same. So I'm worried about the communications involved in this. I'm worried about going back on his own word. I don't like that. But the actual pardon, I'm okay with. I'm going to switch gears right now if we don't have another call. And I want to address some of the things that I was talking about with Billy Feitinger earlier, which is how do we proceed from here? And I've done a little podcast on that at Civic Media, the Wisconsin Forward podcast. We'll play a little of this and then we'll probably come back either to your calls or more of this after a break. But here's how I made sense of what happened on November 5th and how we proceed from there. So how do we go on? First, we need to take care of ourselves and each other. Turn off your cable TV and give it a rest for a while. You won't find nourishment there, only more anxiety, only more nausea. Spend time with friends, as my wife and I did the night after the election and in subsequent days, and listen to the marvelous essayist Terry Tempest Williams, who wrote, "To feel the pain of now and not look away, to act not with the hope of moving forward always forward, but to see the wisdom of stepping sideways as we create a different space, a more conscious space in the direction of pause, where we can breathe and gather ourselves, so we can gather others around us and create a community of care." I love Terry Tempest Williams. She used to write for me at The Progressive. And yes, we must build that community of care. She's just a wonderful person and a tremendous writer. And we need to also try to get ourselves out into nature, at least for a few minutes a day, if you possibly can. Here's the great Kentucky poet, Wendell Berry, reciting in his own voice, a beautiful baritone, his wise poem, The Peace of Wild Things, which he wrote in the midst of the Vietnam War.
When despair for the world grows in me, and I wake in the night at the least sound, in fear of what my life and my children's lives may be, I go and lie down where the wood drake rests in his beauty on the water, and the great heron feeds. I come into the peace of wild things who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water, and I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting with their light. For a time, I rest in the grace of the world and am free.
Going into the woods and watching birds always calms me down and charges me up. So thank you, Wendell Berry, for that advice. He just turned 90, by the way, and he's still at it. It's also helpful to look back at other difficult moments, even relatively recent ones, to understand that our gains are not linear. I've gotten my teeth kicked in so many times I hardly have any teeth left, but I keep on shouting. I was a young journalist working for Ralph Nader in Washington, D.C. when Ronald Reagan swept to power, and I was terrified that he was going to blow up the world. Then, after I came to Wisconsin, we tried our hardest to beat Scott Walker in the recall election, and then again in his reelection bid, and we got spanked both times. And I was on TV the night that Donald Trump won the first time, and when Paul Ryan said, "It's a good night for America," I turned to my friend on the set and said, "It's more like, good night, America." So as Kamala Harris said in her concession speech, I get it. It's tough right now. But we must regroup, regather, rethink, and carry on. One way to start carrying on is to listen to Howard Zinn, the author of A People's History of the United States. This famous quote of his has been on our fridge off and on for 20 years now. I'll start it, and then I'll let Howard himself finish it. To be hopeful in bad times is not just foolishly romantic. It's based on the fact that human history is a history not only of cruelty, but also of compassion, sacrifice, courage, and kindness. If we remember those times and places, and there are so many, where people have behaved magnificently, this gives us the energy to act and at least the possibility of sending the spinning top of a world in a different direction. Here's Howard Zinn wrapping it up.
And we don't have to wait for some grand utopian future. If we live now as we think human beings should live, in defiance of all that's bad around us, that in itself is a marvelous victory.
So that was an excerpt. I love the voices in that. Howard Zinn's voice, Wendell Berry's voice. An excerpt from a podcast I've done for Civic Media called the Wisconsin Forward Podcast that you can find on Civic Media's website, civicmedia.us. This was a real existential moment for all of us, November 5th, and how to proceed after that. But we need to recognize that we've suffered defeats before. And we've regrouped, and people have regrouped all across the world who've lived under authoritarian governments. I mean, imagine being in Chile after Pinochet came to power. They had to overcome real authoritarianism in the streets with a real dictator who threw people out of airplanes and killed thousands upon thousands of people and whose forces tortured thousands upon thousands more. And yet they still resisted, and they found a way to retrieve their democracy. And so that's what we need to do now. We need to find a way to retrieve our own democracy. And we do have an authoritarian, a fascist in government. We have people like Kash Patel who's saying, I'm going to use the FBI to come after all of you. We can't be scared. We've got to marshal the energy and the courage to resist nonviolently, and we'll get our democracy back. And we'll talk a little bit more how we do that. Right after this break, I'm Matt Rothschild. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Earl Ingram.
Mr. Ben Wickler, he is running for the national DNC chair. The fundamental problem was the Democratic brand. Do you think that is the case more than the Harris campaign?
Core answer is yes. The Democratic brand, it's not what we necessarily do or say. It's what people have heard and internalized. And that, to me, is an argument for thinking about how and where we communicate, making sure we are present in places where people are thinking about stuff other than politics.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
Kash Patel, who Trump has nominated to be the head of the FBI, said he wants to basically shut down the main parts of the FBI. Bill Barr, MAGA Republican Attorney General to Donald Trump. Quote, the very idea of moving Patel into a role like this showed a shocking detachment from reality. Unquote. This is not the left calling out Patel. This is the right.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots.
Woot, woot.
And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning, Matt Rothschild here. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. Jane and Greg are off today. They'll be back tomorrow. I'm here with Calvin on the box, and we're encouraging you to call, join the conversation, or join with a text, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. We're broadcasting all across the Civic Media Radio Network here in Wisconsin. Any callers, Calvin? Do we have any callers tonight, right now? Okay. Until we do, for the next few minutes, I want to continue with this discussion of how do we move forward. So this is from the podcast I have at civicmedia.us called the Wisconsin Forward Podcast. So let's play that for a little bit. And you can find that again at civicmedia.us. Zinn's advice is echoed by Václav Havel, the Czech dissident and poet who later became president. Havel called this living within the truth, but not giving into it. The truth right now is, we have a fascist president, but we don't have to bow down to him. We can live our lives with dignity and with honor, and we must resist him, and we must try to reach at least some of our fellow citizens who voted for him. Not all of them are in the cult. Not all of them are flying Confederate flags. In fact, most of them aren't. We need to talk with them, listen to them, and gradually try to bring them around. As Timothy Snyder, the author of On Tyranny, wrote after Trump won the first time, power wants your body softening in your chair and your emotions dissipating on the screen. Get outside. Put your body in unfamiliar places with unfamiliar people. Make new friends and march with them. Courage doesn't mean not fearing or not grieving. It does mean resisting right away. And we can resist in a whole variety of ways. We can write letters to the editor. We can call into right-wing radio shows. We can join a good group like the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin or the ACLU of Wisconsin or Common Cause Wisconsin or the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign or Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin or Conservation Voters of Wisconsin or Voces de la Frontera or Black Leaders Organizing for Communities or Fair Wisconsin or the myriad of other progressive nonprofits that are doing so much good in this state. If you're in a union, become active in it. If you're not in a union, try to organize one in your workplace.
If you're a member of a church or a synagogue or a mosque, become part of the social justice group within it or form such a group if there isn't one already. But you can't do it alone. Do it with a friend, especially one who's a good cook and has a delightful sense of humor. It's more sustainable that way. Most importantly, after you've recharged your batteries, do something. Get back engaged. Like AOC said after the election,
never, ever, ever think that any choice or any act of yours is too small. It isn't. And regimes and autocracies are taken down by millions of drops of small actions that would otherwise be invisible.
So we need to swamp them with our billion drops of small actions. But we'll also need to swamp them with large actions. We must be prepared to shelter those who are most at risk, and that means the undocumented, the trans, and any political foes that Donald Trump goes after. And we must be prepared to march in the streets to protest any of the fascist moves that Trump makes. And we must be prepared to engage in strikes. The broader, the better. We need to build a vast progressive mass movement to counter the fascist mass movement and blunt Trump. We'll also need to return to the electoral arena. Here in Wisconsin, we made significant gains in the state legislature thanks to the fairer maps that we got after a long struggle. There will be more seats to win in 2 years and the governorship to hold on to. More imminently, there's another big Wisconsin Supreme Court race in April that will determine the balance there as Susan Crawford, the liberal candidate, faces off against the odious Brad Schimmel. I know I don't have an ounce of energy to even contemplate another electoral campaign right now, but I hope to gather some energy after the holidays. Rest, recoup, recharge, re-engage. That's my to-do list. Our Eastern European friends who lived under authoritarianism for decades offered this advice back in 2016. Above all, be strong, fight, endure, and remember, you're on the good side of history. Every authoritarian, totalitarian, and fascist regime in history eventually failed, thanks to the people. It was true in Europe, it was true in Chile and Brazil and Argentina and Paraguay, and it'll be true right here in the United States. Back in college, I fell in love with the poet W.H. Auden. One of his most powerful poems was entitled September 1st, 1939, the very day the Nazis invaded Poland. Here's his haunting last stanza. Defenseless under the night, our world in stupor lies, yet dotted everywhere, ironic points of light flash out wherever the just exchange their messages. May I, composed like them, of Eros and of dust, beleaguered by the same negation and despair, show an affirming flame. So that was W.H. Auden reading his great poem. That was me reading his great poem, which is the poem that he wrote after Hitler invaded Poland. And it talked about how we go on, which is the existential dilemma we face right now. And you were listening there to a podcast that I did about how we go on, being the light. You can find it at civicmedia.us, the Wisconsin Forward podcast. And I think we need to encourage everyone to, regroup and regather and get our energies together. I mentioned a lot of organizations there, like League of Women Voters, etc. Tomorrow's Giving Tuesday. It's a good time to donate to these nonprofit organizations in Wisconsin that are doing the good work for democracy. ACLU Wisconsin. I used to work at Wisconsin Democracy Campaign and the Progressive. Those are good nonprofits too. And I know Civic Media is doing a lot to support Giving Tuesday. So it's really important short-term financially to support these groups. More importantly, still join one of the groups. Get involved with a friend in an organization, in a union, at a church, at a synagogue, at a mosque, wherever you engage with other people. Don't do it alone. It's too lonely a battle to do alone. But do it with friends, and we can get through this period. I'm Matt Rothschild. I'm subbing in here for Jane on Matt and Air on Air, and I'll be right back with Sean Fetteplace, and we'll talk to him about what's going on. I hope you'll join me and join that conversation, and we'll be right back.
We all need a celebration. It's part of the This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Daniel Penny's lawyers portray him as a savior. Prosecutors call him reckless in the chokehold death of an unruly Jordan Neely on a New York City subway train. Closing arguments were heard Monday.
Prosecutors say Daniel Penny, a trained Marine in martial arts, in the kind of hold that he was trying to use, should have found some kind of an alternative means to subdue Jordan Neely. They say it was reckless, and they say that Penny disregarded Neely's humanity.
ABC's Aaron Katursky. Prosecutors will wrap up their summation on Tuesday. When former Kansas Police Detective Roger Golubsky didn't show up for his federal trial for sexually assaulting black women and girls, police went to his place and found him dead from suicide. President-elect Trump hit social media to announce he would nominate investment banker Warren Stevens as U.S. ambassador to Great Britain. This is ABC.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The Bucks are on the road. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Bucks and the Pistons tonight in Detroit, an NBA Cup game, the in-season tournament. Doc Rivers thinks this could be a fun game to watch.
It's early in the season, and you have a game that has some meaning behind it. The team that you're playing, it's a must-win for them. You know, it's a must-win for both teams in some ways. You don't get this early. And so I think it's good for everybody.
College hoops, Wisconsin hosts Michigan tonight in Madison. The Badgers now ranked 11th in the nation in the latest AP poll. NFL, Packers getting ready for the Lions. Green Bay defensive end Lucas Van Ness has a quarterback sack in each of the Packers' last two games. I asked him about Lions quarterback Jared Goff.
Yeah, you know, you've seen that he's a very efficient passer, and we're going to do what we can just to kind of keep the momentum we've had over the past few weeks, getting after quarterbacks and trying to do our best to impact the game that way.
That's the Packers' Lucas Van Ness with Sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. It's been a long road for the live-action version of Snow White, but there is now a release date in sight. The Disney flick has been in development since 2016 and was supposed to be released in 2024. Greta Gerwig wrote the script for the film, which stars Rachel Zegler and Gal Gadot. Snow White will hit theaters March 21st of 2025. Hollywood is full of crazy stories, and actor Josh Brolin has a doozy he shared in his new memoir, From Under the Truck. Brolin tells the story of when he met acting legend Marlon Brando. Brolin attended a dinner at his stepmother Barbara Streisand's house, along with John Travolta and Kelly Preston. Brolin recalled that Brando showed up with a bleeding leg because he stopped to pull someone from a mudslide on the way to the party. Travolta, a well-known Scientologist, noticed and told Brando he had just gotten to the next level as a Scientologist and said he could heal him. Brolin recalled watching Danny Zuko heal the Godfather, one of the most surreal of his life. It was surreal just reading that. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Some light snow and flurries coming to an end here in the overnight. The clouds stay put. Lows will drop to the lower teens. Our winds will be light. Tuesday, cloudy skies with highs in the low to mid-20s. The wind turns a bit breezy with more light snow late. Currently 17 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
His name's Jeff Mandel, general counsel for Law Forward.
Mr. Gableman broke more ethics laws and rules than he followed. The attorney's oath here in Wisconsin is fairly long. Mr. Gableman had, in the course of the sham investigation into the 2020 election, violated every single sentence in that oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, we go overtime with Maggie Dawn. WISDEM's chair, Ben Wickler, makes a run for the DNC. Also, Susan Webb Yackey talks about finding common ground in Wisconsin. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, good morning. It's Matt Rothschild. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. Jane is off today, as is Greg. They'll be back tomorrow. I'm here with Calvin on the box. And with you, if you want to join the conversation, the number to call is 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Joining me in the studio in Madison right now is Sean Fedaplace. Sean is the National Campaigns Director of the Main Street Alliance. Welcome to the show, Sean.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, tell our listeners what the Main Street Alliance is.
Yeah, the Main Street Alliance is an organization made up of small business owners all throughout the country. Here in Wisconsin, we have about 2,000 member businesses that we work with. And we're really working to build power in local communities on issues that they care about. And so we've been in the state for about 4.5 years and just excited to do this work.
Now, you used to be the Wisconsin director, and now I see you're national campaigns director. Does that mean you got a promotion?
I mean, I love our state, and so I still do a lot of stuff here, but, you know, it's been really interesting to see what we've been able to learn from Wisconsin and the work here, and really working to do more work in states like Virginia, North Carolina, New Jersey, and just really build out this network all across the country.
So what is it that you learned from doing your work here in Wisconsin?
So I would say, first off, people listen to small businesses and their voices. Furthermore, it's important to get involved not only in the work of legislation, but we also have members that ran for office. We also recently launched a PAC, and we got involved in the political process more directly as well.
I'm going to want to ask about that in a second, but I see that we've got a caller, Don from Green Bay. Why don't we take that call? Don, are you on the line?
Yeah, it's Dan from Green Bay. Here we go.
Dan, I'm sorry. I should have my glasses on.
That's fine. You can call me anything you want. So I'm listening to what you're saying, okay? And I'm a Republican, okay? And I'm like, why are you afraid of Trump? I mean, Trump's policies, actually, based on the guests you currently have, benefited small and medium-sized businesses tremendously, especially in terms of deregulation. And so I'm just curious as to why all the fear-mongering. I mean, it strikes me as kind of like, you know, ill-informed, I mean, to be honest with you.
All right, Dan. I appreciate the call. That's Dan from Green Bay. I'll just give you my own opinion, and then I'll let our guest, Sean Fedaplace, answer for himself. I'm scared of Trump because he has said he's going to be a dictator on day one, and he wants to get rid of parts of the U.S. Constitution. And he's putting people in place like Kash Patel, who says we're going to come after the people, including people in the media. I mean, this is not how a democracy is supposed to work. But I'll turn it over to Sean on the question of small businesses. How would you react to Dan from Green Bay?
Yeah, well, thanks, Dan. And I would say that if you look at the Tax Cut and Jobs Act that was passed in 2017, it was designed in a way where the overwhelming benefit went to the very wealthy and larger businesses as opposed to smaller businesses. And so, you know, it might sound like it's the right, you know, Trump has talked a lot about supporting small business, but the reality doesn't always match the rhetoric. And so we're going to hold him accountable and make sure that is the case over the next 4 years.
Thanks again, Dan. We've got Matt from Middleton. And Matt, I'm sorry I made you wait before, but thanks for calling back. What's on your mind?
Hey, guys. I follow economists and what they say quite a bit. And what I heard years ago was that the 90s was the best the economy will ever be, as far as growth, as far as American businesses. And a lot of this stock market stuff is just rich people buying up assets and buying up stocks, and it's not a good indication of the economy. So my question is, how do you go forward? How do we have a system that has less and less growth, and we can then do more community-based capitalism And because, you know, the world order is shifting and a lot of countries aren't going to deal with us anymore, the BRICS nations, so on and so forth. So that should be the discussion, is how do we go forward with more local capitalism and decentralize? Because I think that's the way forward. Thanks, guys.
Well, thanks for the call. Matt from Middleton raising an important question about how we go forward. I mean, I don't think Trump's tariffs are going to help people at all here in Wisconsin or around the country or the consumer every day trying to make ends meet. But I want to ask Sean how he would answer that question.
Yeah, I would say one of the best things that President Biden did was to nominate Lina Khan as FTC chair. There's been a lot of work done to actually enforce her antitrust laws over the course of the last 4 years. And she's gotten support both from Republicans and Democrats on that. If you actually enforce antitrust law, that's going to mean fewer monopolies, less consolidation, and more local communities. And so my hope is that we'll be able to keep up that fight both federally and the state level in the weeks to come.
But that's not likely to be Trump's policy. I don't believe Donald Trump's going to be a trust buster, not with all the billionaires in his cabinet there. I mean, it's a government of, by, and for the billionaires, it looks like, with Trump coming on. What can we do, or what can the consumer do to help build a more democratic, small d, more functional economy locally? I think that's one of the things Matt from Middleton was talking about. And I just wanted to ask you, Sean Fetteplace, with the Main Street Alliance, how do we encourage people to shop locally as opposed to the big chains or Amazon, for instance?
Well, I would say, you know, the Madison area, but also all across the country, all across the state, you know, we're a small business state. And the best thing you could do is spend your dollars in those local small businesses. In this area, you've got, you know, Root Brew Kombucha, you've got local music venues, you've got, you know, pizza stops, you've got a lot of those local makers markets. I definitely would encourage folks to go to those local farmers markets, to those local craft fairs, to be able to really keep their dollars local. And so over the course of, you know, next several weeks, I definitely encourage you to both shop local. Gift cards are great because it's a way to give those businesses some capital to be able to operate as well. And so shop local, and also make sure you're actually looking up the ownership of these businesses, because sometimes they look local and they're not.
Yeah, there's nothing better for the local economy than shopping local. Keep the dollars here, not fleeing out of your local community or out of state, or God forbid, even out of the country. So we were talking a little bit earlier, Sean, you brought up this question of what you've learned about Wisconsin politics at the Main Street Alliance. And you said you engaged in some of the electioneering that happened locally here in Wisconsin, not talking about Trump right now. What was your success doing that?
So I would say, first off, the new maps made a huge difference because it allowed folks to be able to run and actually have a chance to win. We really haven't been a democracy for 12 years in our state because of the rigged maps.
And can we just salute everyone who worked on that campaign to get us fair maps? I mean, this was a campaign. You know, sometimes campaigns seem unwinnable, and the fair maps campaign to the cynics seemed unwinnable. You're never going to get that. And lo and behold, we got it, and it's made a difference. So I just want to congratulate everyone who worked on that.
Yeah, it made a huge difference. And so we got involved in six races all across the state, in literally every corner of the state, both the state Senate and state assembly. We had numerous MSA members, including Kristen Alfheim as an example, up in Appleton, who ran. And we worked to make sure that small business voices were front and center in the election. So we ran ads, we held roundtables where the candidates were invited to come and talk with local small business owners about their priorities. And, you know, we have now a legislature that's much more close to 50-50 and much more reflective of the people of our state. And so we're hopeful that in the next legislative session, we're hopefully going to be able to get some stuff done.
What's the stuff that you'd like to see get done here in Wisconsin?
Medicaid expansion being number one. We are one of 10 states left that has not taken it. It is not only a moral obscenity that we haven't taken it, but also it's bad for business. So childcare count.
Yeah, how is it bad for business?
A lot of employers just simply can't afford to provide health care. They're maybe too small. If you are somebody in a job where you're making good money, you might not be able to leave that job because you need the benefits. And so a lot of entrepreneurship doesn't get started because of that. So it really would help to both make sure people are getting the healthcare need they need, but also help to spur entrepreneurship. And it would save our state money. We've spent an extra $2.4 billion over the last 10 years than we would have spent if we had actually taken the expansion already.
Ooh, that's a sin.
Yeah.
What are some of the other issues? You started talking about childcare when I rudely interrupted you.
No, childcare counts was not funded in the last budget, and I'm convinced several lawmakers lost their jobs partially due to that issue. That is something that needs to be funded, and we believe in funding at $2 billion over the biennium. That will help to make sure that parents can afford care, but that the providers are also earning enough to stay in the industry and to attract people to the industry.
So what is that exactly? That's a subsidy to child care providers?
Yes, it's directly to providers to be able to keep costs down. And right now, if we do not fund that program in this next budget, you're looking at potentially over 1,000 child care centers across our state closing permanently. And those are not going to come back if they go. That could cause huge workforce issues. And frankly, you know, last budget, we were only asking for $300 million at that point. The problem's gotten worse. And so this needs to be addressed.
And it's so hard for parents to pay for childcare. And if there are fewer places, the costs are just going to keep going up. And that's a crisis people don't talk about. You're also working, I think, on paid family leave stuff.
That's right. We were very involved in the win in Minnesota last year. And, you know, we've worked hard on that issue for a number of years. That is something that needs to happen in our state if we're going to be competitive across the Midwest. There's huge momentum behind it as well right now. New Mexico is about to pass paid leave. Maryland passed it. Pennsylvania is on the cusp. Michigan's on the cusp. A lot of the action on this is at the state level. And so we look forward to working to try to get this done. And we're hopeful it's going to be in the governor's budget when he releases it the next month or so.
It's one thing to be in the governor's budget. It's another thing to get it across Robin Voss's desk and Devin Lemieux's desk. What are the possibilities there?
I think we need to ratchet up the pressure. I think we need to, you know, there's several state reps in the Fox Valley, in Milwaukee, in Southwest Wisconsin, who really need to hear from their constituents about this issue. And because ultimately, if we can get enough of them to be supportive, then it can force the issue with Voss and Lemieux. I think it's going to be very challenging. Speaker Voss actually tweeted at me the other day on healthcare.
What did he say?
He said that Medicaid expansion is welfare and that, you know, people are okay because they can go in the marketplace. Well, if you're making $18,000 or $20,000 a year, you can't afford a $5,000 deductible. And so if we're going to have this debate, it needs to be an honest debate. And so that's something we're going to do is we're going to bring sunlight to these issues.
Did you ask him whether Foxconn's welfare?
I wanted to stay focused on the issue. He got a little nasty. I was just like, here's a study. The Wisconsin Policy Forum did a study on Medicaid that was fairly recent that showed that it is long overdue to get this done. And we shouldn't let partisan politics get in the way of good policy.
I'm speaking with Sean Fetteplace. He's the National Campaigns Director of the Main Street Alliance. He also has been working here in Wisconsin for how many years now?
About 4.5.
There you go. And I just need to get your take on Trump and why you think he won and what we need to do now.
There's a lot of Monday morning quarterbacking. There's been a bit of time now that's passed and people have been able to absorb it. I mean, I think that there's a lot of reasons. I think first off, there was the political process where the candidates changed very late in the game. I think the other piece of this is that, you know, 4 years is a long time in politics. People forget. You know, I think for a lot of folks, they remember the cheap eggs. They remember, you know, the cheaper gas. And it's like, it's important to remember that that's because we are in a pandemic. And so we're going to work to hold them accountable over the next few years.
Yeah, we all have to do that work. Thanks so much for being my guest today. Sean Fetteplace, National Campaigns Director, Main Street Alliance. You're listening to Matt and Era on Air. We'll be right back with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Jane's funny way that she ends her show every day. Thanks for listening, and please hang on.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Buddy Minute and an answer to the question, how often should I take my car in to get it serviced? As somebody who's worked on cars and knows a little bit about them, I admit that my instincts here are 100% wrong. I always want to say, oh, I'll just know when it's time. I'll feel it. But that's pretty hard to make a plan or a budget around. And my husband has made an honest car owner out of me by scheduling our maintenance on the calendar according to the book that everybody has and nobody reads, the manual in your glove compartment. Yep, even the motorheads over at cartalk.com, remember that old Car Talk radio show that was one of my favorites, you know, with Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers? They say that taking your car in on the schedule dictated by the people who made it is the best way to keep it in shape. So grab that manual, and if you want more tips on saving, head over to workmoney.org. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying take good care.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
James Rundy.
I decided to throw off all my wild and crazy short film ways and make a straight up documentary about my uncle. He was one of the small time dairy farmers across the state that were kind of the backbone and why we got our state's name, America's Dairyland.
It was called The Last Milk. Have you ever milked a cow?
Oh yeah.
I'm curious, but I'm scared to do it because I'm worried I might like it.
All right. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
We know what happened the last time Trump applied this ham-fisted tariff policy. He had to write a $12 billion check to farmers because he crushed so many of our agricultural exports. It drove up the cost of single-family homes because the cost of lumber from places like Canada went way the frick up. Everything got more expensive.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, Matt Rothschild with you just for a few more minutes here on Matt and Air on Air. Jane is gone today, as is Greg, but Calvin is here on the box. And before I forget, Calvin, I want to thank you for helping me out here. It's been a fun morning. I've enjoyed doing the show. I want to thank Jane and Greg for letting me get behind the mic. And I want to thank our guests, most recently Sean Fetteplace of Main Street Alliance, Billy Feitlinger, longtime political activist here in Dane County who used to work for Russ Feingold. I want to thank the callers and the texters, and I want to remind people that coming up after the top of the hour is the talented Todd Alba on the Todd Alba Show. But right now, I mean, one of the funnest things when I'm driving around listening to Civic Media and listening to Matt and Air on Air is her delicious little daily item called This Shouldn't Be a Thing. So, Calvin, if you could play the intro to that, I will talk about the item that I found.
This shouldn't be a thing.
So this is from an article that the AP did a couple of weeks ago. And this shouldn't be a thing, breaking into a car with a bear outfit on. So here we go. California has seen its share of bears breaking into cars, but bears caught on camera entering luxury cars tipped off insurers that something wasn't quite right. In what it has dubbed Operation Bear Claw, the California Insurance Department said four L.A. residents were arrested, accused of defrauding three insurance companies out of nearly $142,000 by claiming a bear had caused damage to their vehicles. The group is accused of providing video footage from the San Bernardino Mountains in January of a bear moving inside a Rolls Royce and two Mercedes to the insurance companies as part of their damage claims. Photos provided by the insurance department show what appeared to be scratches on the seats and doors. The company viewing video of the Rolls-Royce suspected it wasn't a bear inside, but someone in a bear costume. Detectives found two additional claims with two different insurance companies for the four people with the same date of loss and at the same location. Similar video was provided of the so-called bear inside the Mercedes vehicles. the department head of biologists from the California Department of Fish and Wildlife reviewed the three videos, and he concluded it was clearly a human in a bear suit. So don't go impersonating a bear if you are going to go making a little robbery. So this shouldn't be a thing, Calvin. Can you take us out on it?
This shouldn't be a thing.
And it reminds me, I don't know, Calvin, are you a believer in Bigfoot?
You know, maybe 10 years ago, but no, not anymore.
You know, that's what this story reminded me. Every time I'm on Facebook and I see one of those videos or so-called videos of so-called Bigfoot roaming around in the woods, a real glance, only a fleeting glance of Bigfoot, I have to laugh. And this story reminded me, it sounded like one of those Bigfoot videos. I believe that those Bigfoot videos are people in bear costumes, just like these people who were trying to defraud their insurance companies of what, $140,000? They got caught, as they deserve to be. So love that this shouldn't be a thing. I love Jane's show. I love the way Jane and Greg interact on Matt and Air on Air, and the way you interact, Calvin, with Jane and Greg. It's a terrific program here on Civic Media. It's been my pleasure to be with you on Civic Media this morning on the Jane Matt and Air on Air show. I do want to encourage people to give to Giving Tuesday tomorrow. There are all these great organizations, nonprofit organizations in Wisconsin who rely on your donations in these last few weeks of the year. Those tax-deductible donations sometimes make up 50% of a nonprofit's annual budget. 1 month makes up 50%. It's crazy, but that's how these organizations survive. So find an organization in Wisconsin that you want to support. And give at any level. It doesn't matter. Just give them a small donation if that's all you can afford. It all adds up for these organizations on Giving Tuesday. I know Civic Media itself is supporting the Giving Tuesday effort, and I just want to reiterate how important it is. And I also want to stress the need to regather our strength here during the holidays. I think it's important, at least for me psychologically, not to watch a lot of news. I'd rather listen to Civic Media. I'd rather go online to find my news than to be bombarded by the images of Trump and the images of his horrible appointments that he's making. I'd rather take it quickly online and listen to it on Civic Media than suffer through watching him and watching his nominees and just getting my blood pressure to go up. We don't need our blood pressure to go up right now. We've got to regroup, gather our strength for the coming year, gather our strength here in Wisconsin for the big Wisconsin Supreme Court race that's coming up in April, and to keep up the fight. I know a lot of people were incredibly discouraged, as I was on the evening of November 5th, but, you know, we got to live to fight another day, and we can't give up. We don't have the luxury of giving up. Bernie Sanders just posted recently a quick little line I wanted to share with you. He was talking about we got to take on Trump and the oligarchs. The best way to do that, he said, is to educate and organize, educate and organize. He added, we've got to expand our social media outreach. We've got to find grassroots leaders who are prepared to take on the powerful special interests. We got to find people to run for office. Bernie is right on all of that. So it's been my pleasure being with you and Calvin on Matt and Air on Air. Stay tuned for the Todd Albaugh Show, which I always enjoy listening to on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, we discuss how the heck do we evaluate if the Donald Trump 2.0 presidency is a success? I'd like to hear from you, MAGA voters. Tune in.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. as a network, we're called Civic Media because a big part of it is we want to start modeling how civic discourse really should happen and being respectful of each other's opinions, even if you disagree, you know, like they should be given a platform.
If Rocker and I can get along, we can all get along.
I know, exactly.
Right, Rocker?
Yeah, that's right, Jimmy.
Well, you do have a wall in between the two of you, so
glass.
It's like...
It's only glass. Tear down the walls. Listen to Max Inc. Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is the Buzz of the North.
WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.